Again, thank you, Chief, and fellow members of the council, staff, and members of the public that are listening. We want to take this opportunity, and we appreciate the opportunity, to discuss the role of the trial court presiding judge's advisory committee and talk about an increasing role for our committee as we move into the coming year. And as Judge Rosenberg just referenced, this is not a formal presentation. This is something where I want you to feel free to interrupt us, ask any questions as we go, because the idea is really hopefully some education, but also sharing of ideas on how we can be better in our committee and how we can accomplish things in a new and different way. The thought here is that what I'll do is talk about, in effect, the year in review. Not a lot of detail, so don't start going to sleep. But we'll talk about that so you have a foundation for an understanding as to what our committee does and how it advises the council. And then I'll turn it over to Judge Rosenberg, and he'll talk about the coming year. And again, the purpose of this is discussion, interactive, so please feel free to ask questions. At the start of the year, and our year starts with a new chair coming in on September 15, so Judge Rosenberg will start on September 15. I was fortunate when I started to have had the benefit of the strong leadership of Judge O'Malley, and before her, Judge So, on this committee. This committee has been really quite active. We have presiding judges around this state that want to be involved and will share their opinions and forcefully at times. And so I just want to commend her and Judge So for the history leading up to this present year. Very quickly, I'm just going to run through a couple things that we've done and how we've approached things. We have had an ongoing, wonderful relationship with the court executives, chaired by Kim Turner, this year. And two of the working groups that we have that we share together are the Joint Rules Working Group and the Joint Legislation Working Group. Those are very active committees from the presiding judge's side. The Joint Rules is co-chaired by Judge Suzanne Kingsbury from El Dorado, and she does a wonderful job, as does Judge Doug Elwell of the San Bernardino Superior Court. He co-chairs the Joint Legislation Working Group. We have had, as you know, a very active year in legislation, and our committee has stepped up time and again. We communicate by email, phone tree, and we really react quickly to a very flexible and fast-moving situation in Sacramento, and that has been, frankly, one of our strengths. A lot of things have taken place. I'm only going to mention one that is of keen interest to the presiding judges, because we're very concerned about October 1st and beyond, and that's AB 109. We have a working group on the criminal justice realignment within the presiding judges, and I want to commend Judge Tom Boris from Orange County, Judge Cheryl Ellsworth from Riverside, and Judge Richard Loftus from Santa Clara. They have been on that working group. Judge David Wesley has been involved in the group as well, and has all have given great leadership. Dave is involved from the Criminal Law Advisory Group. And this is an ongoing discussion, and in fact, just I was talking with Judge Wesley yesterday, and there's meetings still going on with the legislature and the governor's office on how we can change AB 109 as it stands now. As you know, it's been radically scaled back from what it was originally, but the trial courts are very, very concerned with regard to not only funding, but fundamentally how this is going to work and the impact it's going to have on the individual court. So I commend all that are giving so much effort to this project. With regard to Rules Committee, just a couple things. Judge Kingsbury has been active with regard to the concern about the promulgation of so many rules, particularly in this time of budget difficulties and the things that we in the trial courts are facing on a daily basis, there's a lot of concern about the implementation of new rules and how this is going to actually affect the courts. And I know Justice Hull on RuPro is concerned about the same thing. In fact, he presented to our both the joint presiding judges and court executive meeting last Tuesday on this very issue. And so there will be a lot of, I think, movement in the future as to where we're going to go in terms of maybe scaling back on the promulgation of so many rules. With regard to another aspect of our Rules Committee, we're looking at the interim amendments that the Commission on Judicial Performance is proposing. We are in the process of responding to that as the presiding judges. There's a concern generally about the due process involved with the interim amendments, and we will be having that completed by Monday in time for CJP's meeting, working group meeting on Tuesday the 30th. Very quickly, I don't want to spend a lot more time, and again, this is interactive. I just don't want to be talking head here, so please interject any time. But some things that are important in the past year have been the Bench Bar Media's proposal with regard to the presumption that we're going to use cameras in the courtroom and we're going to record electronically. This was a great concern of the trial judges, the presiding judges, with regard to the use of cameras and the presumption that it would take. And that has been scaled back now. As I understand it, this is probably going to be coming to the council in October. But the cameras and the presumption with regard to the use of cameras and the electronic recording is not going to be part of that proposal to the council. And that was really, CJA was very active in this, as were the presiding judges. We've also had a court budget impact working group, and Judge O'Malley has been very active in that. And that's a number of presiding judges that have come together to try to effectively demonstrate to the legislature and the governor the impacts that the proposed cuts that are now in effect that have been imposed would have on the trial courts and how that would be really devastating to our ability to serve the public well. And that group has been active, and I appreciate everyone's involvement. Probably the greatest thing that, in my view, and I mentioned this when we met last, was that all the presiding judges, despite a lot of differences and sometimes very strong differences of opinions on things that are taking place in the branch right now, all of us, all 58 PJs, all 58 court executive officers, and all six administrative presiding justices of the Court of Appeal came together to sign a letter in late June with regard to the proposed additional $150 million cut that was going to be imposed on the branch. And we, again, talked about the devastating impact that that would have on the branch if that were to occur. But it was gratifying to me, and I again thank all of the presiding judges, all of the court executives, and all of the administrative presiding justices of the Court of Appeal for coming together in a united, single voice to state very powerfully what we thought about that additional cut. That was done very quickly. Again, it was the budget impact group. We were working on email. We were working on follow-up phone calls. And we turned that around, because it needed to be turned around, in about a day and a half to 2 days. And that was done. And Kim Turner was critical in that effort, and I think it was a job well done. We do have, as Justice Miller mentioned, a survey that the presiding judges did. We were very fortunate to have the chief attend our executive committee in late March. And at that meeting, she was very concerned about what are the problems here. There's a lot of frustration that's being expressed, but what do we have specifically that we can work on? And so as a result of that discussion, the presiding justices sent a survey to all the presiding judges asking really three questions, and that was, what, if any, are the problems with branch governance? And please be specific. What, if anything, are problems with the role of the AOC? And please be specific. And then very, very importantly, what are the recommended solutions specifically to those perceived problems? And we had a wonderful response to that. There were 35 courts that responded. We forwarded 218 pages of survey material, anonymous, unedited, to the chief, and many, as Justice Miller has just stated, of those issues that were raised, problems identified, have now been implemented already in a very quick and responsive way by the branch to those concerns. We're working on other things, and the council will be intimately involved as we go forward with some of the more difficult things to implement. I'm talking too much, and I want to scale back a little bit, but just a couple other things. With regard to an increased role for the presiding judges, what we've done is we've formed a subcommittee, and it's chaired by Judge Cheryl Ellsworth in Riverside, to explore ways for the presiding judges to have a stronger voice, to increase our communication. And out of that already, we've had a phone tree that is now even more set in stone in terms of who's making the calls. It'll be started by the call of the chair, and we'll make sure we get the same message out to everyone. But we'll be able, within a half day's time, to contact, through this phone tree, all 58 presiding judges. And that's a great thing. And again, this started with Judge O'Malley and before, but it really was implemented well by her, and we're just improving it now. But that's a wonderful subcommittee that we have working. What we've also done is...
Judge Enright, can I just ask a question?
Yes.
In that regards? One of the responsibilities of the executive and planning is to ensure this open and good line of communication between the council and the trial courts or the branch. So I want to encourage us to work in some way so that we can be a part of that and enhance that communication, because I think what you are talking about and what you are doing is valuable to us to hear that. And then it's valuable for you to hear from us as to what's ongoing here, but also for us, like I said before, to listen. So, you know, anything executive and planning can do to assist in the process you're going through there, please let us know, because we want to participate.
Okay, and thank you very much, and we do appreciate that. And
excuse me, Judge Enright, let me add to that. You mentioned that I was able to attend the Trial Court Presiding Justices Advisory Committee, Court Executive Officer Advisory Committee meeting on the 16th. I was pleased to do that. I was glad that I was able to make a few remarks. But we have already, in that single instance, begun receiving a great deal of very helpful input as far as the rulemaking process, and not only the number, but how they're promulgated from those two organizations. And I have some plans in mind about keeping and adding to that that open line of communication, but it's been very helpful, and I thank you for inviting me there that day.
Okay, and thank you for being there, and we appreciate that leadership, because it's of keen interest to the trial courts. One thing that we've done that is, I think, very effective is we have developed an open forum within our both executive committee meetings and our advisory committee meetings. And what that is there's no panel. There's no bullet points, and we talk about what is of keen interest at that point to our presiding judges. And it's been a very fruitful discussion. There's been a lot of opinions that are unvarnished that are stated, and together we work through those things. And at our last meeting, Ron Overholt was there and addressed and listen to a lot of the concerns raised by the presiding judges. And I think this is a step in the right direction, and all along the lines of open communication, open forum, full discussion. Without the opportunity to fully and fairly and freely discuss, we have a lot of quiet resentment, and sometimes it becomes bubbles over into a lot of frustration. So particularly during these challenging times, it's wonderful to be able to get together and do that. I want to stop talking now, but I will say this. I think it's been a great year for the presiding judges in a very difficult time in many ways. But I can tell you that it's going to be even better next year. And that's because of the man sitting to my left, who's going to take it over and do a great job. For those of you that don't know Judge Rosenberg's background, his background is really quite unique, and that is he has background in politics. He has exhibited proven wonderful leadership skills. He's got a keen intellect and insight, and we're going to be in very good hands. And Dave, what does the future look like? What's the coming year look like for the presiding judges?
Thank you, Judge Enright. As you can see, he's the brains and I'm the brawn, and we've been a good team this last year. And I do want to thank Judge Enright. He's been a very strong, calm, deliberative leader for the PJs, and we all owe him quite a debt. I also want to second what Judge Enright has said about Judge So and Judge O'Malley. They also chaired the presiding judges, and they were both role models to me as I observed how they did it. So, and finally, let me just say thank you to the Chief and to Justice Miller. You know, the PJs and the judges really appreciate you opening the doors and the windows, and it's really a breath of fresh air. So that's most appreciated. I sit here as the incoming chair, and as all chairs who have served of the PJ Advisory Committee, speaking on behalf of 58 trial courts, over 1,600 trial court judges, close to 400 subordinate judicial officers. We handle millions and millions of case filings every year. Trial courts, as you know, make up about 83% of the judicial branch budget. It's a big chunk of money. We are Article 6 courts of original jurisdiction in all areas: criminal, civil, juvenile, family, probate, adoptions, guardianships, traffic, UD, small claims, you name it. It all comes through our doors. The 58 presiding judges that I represent are absolutely unique in our system. We are all elected by our colleagues, and that is a unique thing in our system. I can tell you that we have many concerned, some unhappy judges and PJs out there. Why is that? It's because our workloads have not diminished. We don't control our workloads. Something I think that you all understand, but perhaps the public and the press need to understand, courts don't control the spigot. The spigot is controlled by people who file cases, by district attorneys who file cases, and we handle them. So we handle what comes in the door, and what comes in the door does not diminish. At best, it stays the same. It typically increases. However, the funds we've been provided to do our job have been slashed. The number of employees we have to help us do our job has been reduced up to 20% or more in some cases. We are short over 350 judges. I believe it was 10 years ago, in 2001, that this council stated that we have a need for 365 more judges in the state of California. That was 10 years ago. I guarantee you the need has not gone down. The need, if anything, has gone up. And we created 50 new judgeships, and then another 50 were authorized, I think, 3 years ago, but were never funded. So we truly are shorthanded while the workload increases. So what do I see in the future? I see presiding judges who, and judges in general, who cannot afford to sit in their courtrooms any longer. It's got to be more than being in the courtroom. We have got to be engaged. We've got to be engaged at the Judicial Council, in the legislature, with the governor. We need to do a better job of reaching out and communicating to the public, to the press, and our justice partners. And we will do so. We need to explain clearly that we are a third branch of government, and we need to be adequately funded, and we need to be given the tools to do the job that the California Constitution has assigned to us. We welcome the opportunity to have that communication and dialogue. We'll be working with Justice Miller in making sure that that happens. At our regional meetings and at the meetings of the presiding judges, we will be more interactive. We'll spend more quality time with each other. We'll conduct workshops. We will talk about best practices. And we will give input to the council. We all need to be a lot smarter in handling our budgets. We understand that we are in tough times, and tough economic times await us in the future. I think all levels and all branches of government have taken hits, but we cannot be singled out for disproportionate cuts. The judicial branch used to be, I think, 2.4% of the statewide budget, which is actually a pretty small percentage. But we used to be 2.4%. Now I understand we are less than 2% of the overall state budget. That's a pretty big hit. We have to push back when legislation is proposed to reduce or curtail or even eliminate judicial discretion. That, in my opinion, is a direct assault on our constitutional role as judges. Uniformity is good. It's welcomed, but each and every case that we hear at the trial court is unique. That's why we have judges, and we don't have computers making those decisions. We need to have the tools to do our jobs in dealing with the public and in handling the cases every day. I've already mentioned adequate judicial resources. Currently, we're dramatically understaffed by at least 350 judges. We need adequate support staff. We need adequate courtrooms and courthouses. Borrowing and taking money from the court construction fund is frankly unconscionable. People paid into that fund. It was created for a specific purpose. People paid fines and fees into that fund for a specific purpose, and that money has been borrowed and taken. We need adequate security for judges, staff, and the public who use our courthouses. And, of course, we need adequate technology as we move into the 21st century. So I believe in the future PJs will not silently observe the diminution of the branch. Every single day we at the trial courts deal with families. In crisis, we deal with children being abandoned and abused. We deal with people addicted to methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, and other drugs, and the problems that ensue and the crimes that are committed and the victims that are harmed. Divorces, child custody battles, child and spousal support, restraining orders, protective orders, hearings and trials of people accused of crimes, people with mental health issues, disputes between corporations, evictions. We deal with homelessness. We deal with veterans' issues, people accused of crime and victims of crime, tens of thousands of citizens serving as jurors all the time. It just goes on and on. We deal with real flesh and blood. We deal with the reality of the judicial branch. And we as PJs and as trial court judges and judicial officers deal with this every single day. So in conclusion, I see my role on the Judicial Council as being an advisory role and weighing in to this council and giving advice from the perspective of your 58 trial courts. And I'll do the best I can in that regard. Thank you. Questions, comments?
Maria.
Well, first of all, I would like to commend Judge Enright for just doing such a great job this year in such a terrible year of leading all the presiding judges and really getting people to band together and, you know, fight common causes, be one voice. It's just, it's so commendable. And I just think that Judge Enright was the right person at the right time and really answered the call and got the right people to band together to help. And these committees that have been formed and the phone tree, I think, is fabulous to have every PJ contacted within, you know, a half a day or so to be able to answer and give a response to what we know are critical issues that come up that kind of blindside us. And the problem is we didn't really have a mechanism to get together to be the voice to respond. And I think that that's just so critical and smart and, you know, just fabulous that that's been perfected and able to be used now for any chair in the future. And that's going to really bring the vision and the voice of the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee really in the forefront. So I really commend you very much, Judge Enright, for such a fabulous year.
Well, that's very kind, and I just want you to know, Judge O'Malley, that we took our cue from you.
Well, thank you. And I am thrilled and so pleased, Judge Rosenberg, that you are the new chair. I have been a fan of yours since we first met at the Trial Court Presiding Judges Executive Committee. I know your talents, your passion, just so smart in all respects. I'm just absolutely thrilled that you're going to be the new chair. And as we've heard from the comments that you just made, we couldn't be in better hands. And I agree, as you and I have talked on numerous occasions before, that it's a new day and the presiding judges can't be in their chambers anymore. They have to get out and we have to really let people know, you know, how the branch stands on matters. And just as importantly, the presiding judges, you know, the concerns haven't always been relayed to the Judicial Council as you know, they could have. And so I really relish in the opportunity to be able to open up the communications. Justice Miller, thank you very much. Justice Hull, thank you very much for taking an active part in really reaching out to this very vital committee. We were always proud of the work that we accomplished, but we wondered really if we were being heard. And so there was frustration, and I think that's been building up, as Justice Miller, you know, commented in his opening remarks. And I just really appreciate the efforts that you've made. I think it will change the perspective as well as the perception. And so I think that this is a wonderful opportunity, and there couldn't be a better leader to bring us into that realm with your experience, your background. Judge Rosenberg, it's just I'm so confident and relieved and happy that the chief was brilliant enough to see that you would easily fulfill this position, as I believe for many years.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley. I better quit while I'm ahead.
Justice Baxter.
Yes, in terms of an enhanced role, I might suggest that the presiding judges committee and court execs have as a high priority the development of proposed judicial council sponsored legislation, and not simply limited to the presiding judges themselves, but if each presiding judge could take the initiative to seek out from the judges in the courtrooms thoughts, ideas, problems that they've encountered, issues that they've encountered, where they think the Judicial Council would be well advised to consider sponsoring legislation, whether it deals with procedural issues or substantive issues. I certainly think we do have advisory committees that deal with substantive areas, but I think the presiding judges are in a perfect position to observe and to call to our attention ideas, proposed legislation that would ultimately come to the Judicial Council. So I'd certainly encourage that.
Thank you. Justice Baxter, and not only to you but to all members of the council, in addition to the phone tree that Judge Enright mentioned, I am instituting a weekly, call it a newsletter or communication. I have all the 58 PJs on my email. I will be sending them, hopefully, every week an email and communicating to them and asking for input back. I will certainly pass along that suggestion about judicial counsel, sponsored legislation. You know, we're not the only people who can come up with good ideas, so we'll pass that information along. I also invite, I've mentioned this to Justice Miller, I also invite all members of the council, if you have something you think ought to be communicated to the PJs, just send me an email. Let me know. I'll think about it, and if it's worthy, I'll pass it along. I'm sure it'll be worthy.
Ms. Chief.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up on something that Judge O'Malley brought up, and that is, Judge Enright, your leadership this past year. I think all of us on council especially know how this year has been full of surprises and change and turning on a dime. And I know that oftentimes I was on late-night calls, and you were too. And oftentimes when issues came and we needed to know what the PJs were thinking or where the PJs were, you were there. You were always involved. I know you have a day job like the rest of us here, but you managed to make yourself available, be incredibly influential in lending the voice of the PJs to give guidance to PCLC or to Kurt or to me or to all of us as we went over to the Capitol. And really, you were everywhere all the time. And I appreciated that because it really showed how we moved together well as a cohesive group. I don't know how you did it, but it's commendable, and I wanted you to know it didn't go unnoticed.
Well, thank you very much, Chief.
And another thing I would say, too, is I'm really excited also by Presiding Judge Rosenberg's coming in as well. He and I have been in communication. He telling me about his great ideas and knowing that, of course, he has the full support of judicial counsel in those ideas because those ideas are spreading information and exchanging communication on a two-way street. And also because with your background in the legislature, it's very helpful to us as we move forward in these trying times, especially in the legislature. And I also want to add that we are often surprised sometimes by what we read in the media. And the media can have such an influence. So I really hope that as we have been, we continue through the PJ group to try to disseminate facts and to sort of put out some of these fires before they become just huge conflagrations, because rumors can be very destructive and begin to cause entities to distrust each other. And so I am again looking forward to working with you and having that two-way line of communication so we can exchange facts.
Thank you.
And Chief, let me just say from the presiding judge's point of view, Chief, I want to thank you for your leadership. You're now coming to the end of your eighth month as our Chief Justice. And I can tell you during these difficult times, your leadership, your dynamic approach is something that we all look to and we savor. And we commend you, because this council, the presiding judges, all of us in the branch really look to you for that wonderful leadership, and we know that we will have it so well and so strongly. And I can't thank you enough on behalf of the presiding judges of this state.
Thank you, Judge Enright.
The last thing I'll say is this, that we, following up on what Justice Miller said, and Judge Rosenberg said, is we want to enhance in every way we can communication both to the presiding judges from the council, and from. And so please don't hesitate. Judge Rosenberg is wonderful with email. He'll read it, he'll digest it, and he'll get back to you. And that's a great thing that we can have in this day and age. And so please take advantage of that communication. We're hungry for it. Thank you.
And finally, let me just say that you have shown great leadership, but we're all here in support We've got to work as a branch. We've got to work together. We've got to try to speak collectively to the extent that we can. Otherwise, we're going to get kicked around.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation.